following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
Good evening. I had to practice a lot to make sure that I said evening and not morning, because it's just so ingrained. But I did it. I did it. So I'm done. I'll see you later. I got the one thing that I was really worried about out of the way. Merry Christmas. Welcome to Emmanuel Covenant Church. My name is Eric Hedberg, and I have the privilege of being the pastor here at Emmanuel. Isn't it great to be together, to be with friends, to be with family, to be with extended family on Christmas Eve, celebrating, anticipating the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad that you're all here with me, with us tonight. We've heard a lot of scripture tonight, right? We heard the Luke text, we heard the John text. I'm going to read a text from Isaiah. I don't think you can ever get too much scripture, really. And the beauty of what we've heard read tonight is that it gives us different insights into this Christmas story. The Luke text that the old family read to us are the words that really most of us think about when we think about the Christmas story, right? The words that actually are the ones that Linus recites when Charlie Brown asks, you know, very frustrated and exasperated with his friends, does anyone really know the meaning of Christmas? Those are the words that Linus gives us, the words from Luke 2. It gives us the manger scene. It gives us the nativity. It gives us the physical, the earthly, the worldly, the things that we can picture and things that we could touch with our hands. Then we heard read by Mike and Linda through the words of Mary and Joseph as they acted for us, the words from John 1. And those help us to get a fuller picture of the divinity of Christ, the ways in which Jesus Christ himself is God. It's a beautiful mystery that's vital to the understanding of why Jesus came to earth. John 1 speaks in these grand terms, these eternal terms, heavenly terms. And then John 1:14 is one of my favorite verses, so much a favorite verse of mine that I made it a camp theme when I got to pick those camp themes for summers. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:14 reminds us of the desire of God to dwell among us. Last week I talked about it like tenting with us, being it not in the counselor's tent set aside, but in the tent with his people. God desperately loves the world. And he sent his Son in human form into this world to live and to eat, to breathe, to walk, and to talk with people, to teach them, to preach, to challenge, to heal, to show, to weep, to touch. And we understand all of this better, I believe, or at least I get a fuller picture of it when we read both of these texts together. We see the heavenly and the divine as well as the humble and the earthly. So like I said, I'm going to read one more passage for us this evening, the passage from Isaiah chapter 9, beginning in verse 2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with the joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of the oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born to us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace. For the throne of David is his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. These words from Isaiah 9 are maybe the most well-known, or some of the most well-known of the Old Testament that have been attached to the Christmas story. And as I was preparing for this, one of the things I was reading said, Christmas Eve is not the night to go into the debate between Jewish folks and Christian folks about what the real meaning of this text was. So I'm going to listen to that and not go there. There is a reality that as Christians we read this, this story, these verses attached to the Christmas story, and with good reason, right? The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The prophet Isaiah is delivering here words of hope and promise and words of truth to a dark and really scary time in the history of Israel. It's a deeply dark time, a time of sadness and despair and fear for those to whom Isaiah is speaking. A time where individuals not only felt fearful, but nations and leaders were fearful. There was war and there was danger all over. And so there are ways in which I know that probably not to the same degree, but at least to some degree, I can identify with the way and the state of which Isaiah is speaking to these. And I imagine we all can. Times when darkness can seem draining, can seem overpowering or overwhelming, when the darkness can be deep. In our world, we hear almost daily about attacks, about nations at odds with each other, terrorist groups attacking innocent children, people being held hostage in a candy store, police officers executed in their car, young men killed, and a nation trying to make sense of those deaths. The darkness at times can feel overwhelming and deep. This season, especially, we've heard and we've prayed for specific people and situations in our community. Most recently, two young children who were killed senselessly. Tegan, who is 8, and Dario, who is 16. Families and friends are mourning their loss. The community is crying out to understand this loss, this devastation, the pain. At times, the darkness can feel overwhelming and deep. And in our own lives, perhaps, we're struggling with illness. Maybe physical issues going unanswered by doctors. Maybe it's simply the physical decline that growing older inevitably means. Maybe there's family issues, relationships that are strained, arguments that have sprung up, maybe frustrations from the holidays. I know that never happens. Stresses at work, at school, in organizations we're a part of, financial stress. Or maybe we're mourning losses in our own families or the loss of close friends. At times, the darkness can feel overwhelming and deep. But the good news is that it is in the midst of that darkness that the great light comes to us. The promise that Isaiah gives to his people is the promise that God gives to us as well, that the great light is coming. The great light dawns. Deep in the darkness of the world around us, deep in the darkness of our own lives, the great light makes himself seen, awakens to us. And what's incredible is that it's not the blazing torch of military and political power. It's not in the form of a warrior who comes to physically destroy all the enemies. No, the light, God himself, comes in the form of a humble baby, in the most humble of circumstances, born in a stable and lay in a manger. Shepherds are the first to encounter him. No, that's not what should have been expected. God has actually declared more than once, more than just this time, his power and his authority with a baby as a sign. A baby? A child? Really, God? What? That's not exactly the most impressive show of divine power. Or maybe it is. In the Christmas story, we see, as we do all throughout Scripture, that God can and will do incredible things in circumstances that may be anything but incredible, in circumstances that seem desperate or bleak or even dark. God demonstrates great power, great care, and great love by sending his only Son. And in it is a declaration that God is the giver of life, that God is the author of creation. Only God can come to us and can transform the world through this new life. It's the perfect combination of human and divine. The omnipotent show of power as God creates life, and the humble and loving desire to simply dwell among us. For the light to be with us, to be a part of life with us, to be the beacon in the darkness. The good news of Christmas is that the light is dawning on us, that the Word is becoming flesh. The baby Jesus is born, born to be our light, born to dwell among us, born to lead us, to teach us, and to save us from our darkness, the darkness around us, and from our sin. Jesus Christ himself is born to be with you and to be with me. What better cause for celebration this Christmas Eve can there possibly be? Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son. Thank you for loving us so much that you lowered yourself, humbled yourself to dwell with us, to send your Son to live with us, to lead, to teach, to convict, and to save us from our darkness, from our sinfulness, from the darkness around us. Lord God, our words, our songs, our prayers are all in gratitude this night for the baby Jesus who comes to us in your love. And we pray this all in his precious and holy name. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.com.